Do you know what we just sang and prayed? We invited God to change our hearts and to be more like Christ. With that, we admitted that we cannot change our hearts ourselves. Because the heart is a very stubborn thing, the Bible says. It's the human heart that makes us and can make us stiff-necked, the Bible says about God's people in the Old Testament. But when the heart is changed, God can mold it. God can use it. He can form us and transform us. Not to what we want, not to something that we envision, but that He envisions. And it's always better. What God envisions is always better than what we could ever dream of. Isn't that true? So let's look in our Bibles this morning in Numbers chapter 10. Come with us to the Promised Land. Numbers chapter 10, a very interesting story. Moses and his brother-in-law, Hobab. We can just call them Bob, okay? Moses said to Bob, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. So he was Moses' wife's brother. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us and we will do you good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Before I was a Christian, I had some company, some friends that invited me to come with them to party. And some of you have never heard this, but one day one of my friends, he had a birthday, and how does a worldly teenager celebrate a birthday? Not with singing and praying, but he had cigars. And so we met in our parents' basement, and the four of us, we all smoked a cigar. It was terrible. I must say, I didn't like it, but we did it anyway, because he invited us to do it. Come with us to smoke a cigar. Come with us to places and activities that are worldly, that give pleasure to the body, that give pleasure to your ego. The Bible has a strong message for young people because peer pressure can result in disaster and ruin lives. Peer pressure can get us into making decisions that we later regret for the rest of our lives. In Proverbs 1 verse 10 and 11, the warning is, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. In other words, do not give in to peer pressure that is negative and bad. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless soul, let's bully someone, let's avenge ourselves. Many disappointments and hurts and corruption follow decisions if we are coerced into going along with the wrong crowd. Now, what I'm speaking of right now is the opposite of what our text says. Moses invites his brother-in-law and says, come with us to the Promised Land. It's not a conflict of the soul that is a constant pull, like the Bible says, do not love the world, neither that which is in the world. God calls us to come with his people. And today, if you are not decided, or if you have kind of gotten slack in being in God's church, in the services with God's people, I want to urge you today, come with us to the promised land. Come explore with us God's word. Come explore with us God's blessings. Come explore with us how life is when you suffer, when you're in despair, but you have God in your life. Moses asked and begged his brother-in-law to come with him, not only to see or to impress his brother-in-law what God was going to do. No, Moses needed his brother-in-law, Bob. Now, at first, there was a plea in Moses' words, come with us and put aside dividing barriers. Moses had married a black woman. His brother-in-law was black. And many people had a problem with Moses' wife. No, she didn't have red hair. She had black hair, probably. She had black skin. And Moses got ridiculed. He got pressured. He was even despised in the beginning, in part by Aaron, his brother, and Miriam, his sister. Why have you chosen this woman as your wife? Bob was black. And so Moses invited him and says, come with us, although you're not in your race, although you don't have many things in common with us, but we want to put aside racial and cultural differences, and we want to go together to the promised land, because cultural and racial differences don't matter in God's eyes. In our time, there's often extreme hate to other races. People can't stand other races. They want to keep to their own. They say, you know, if you weren't born a certain way, you should avoid people from other races. I remember reading many years ago, and this is hard to believe, but this is true. This is the history. In the United States, there was racial differences, and I must say, racial differences in the world are always going to be. But when it comes to the church, we as a church, as the church of God, we should be an example of including all races and putting away cultural and racial differences and saying we all together want to go to the promised land. I read about D.S. Warner, one of the Church of God pioneers that God used in a mighty way. He went to preach in many, many places. He was a traveling evangelist for many years. And he came to Mississippi one day, and in Mississippi at that time, this was a southern state, and the racial tension and divide was very, very strongly. The lines were drawn very clearly, even in churches. Can you imagine? They had a section in the church that was fenced off. And they had a sign. Black people go in this section and white people go in this section. It was in the churches. Racial division was there. The black people always had to feel like, well, we're second class. But loved ones, D.S. Warner had light from God through the gospel. He said, I will have none of this. The black people will sit with the white people. We will have no racial divide when it comes in the church of God. We don't have that because that's human made. God made us all. And he wants all of us. And this is why the black people in the States have really embraced the Church of God to a large extent. There's large churches in the States that have many black people in them. And I love it. Because this is the message that we see here. Moses' brother-in-law was black and he says, come with us. He didn't look at the skin of his color. He didn't look at his cultural difference. He said, come with us to the promised land. We have one thing in common, one thing that we all desire, and that is to make it to the promised land. All other things are unimportant. There's no class differences either. It doesn't matter if someone is rich and someone is poor. We're all equal in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Now, Moses' brother-in-law also had differences of religious customs and convictions. He had grown up differently than Moses. He didn't know the Hebrew way of worshiping God. Can you imagine how he felt when he was participating in the worshiping with the Hebrews? And he thought, I'm not used to this. How can I stand this the rest of my life? And so many people are so sensitive as to exactly how they're used to. But loved ones, what is the main thing? We're going to the promised land. Moses felt no threat of any kind. He knew that his brother-in-law was not only welcome, he was needed. And he didn't care about age differences or so-called generation gaps. Loved ones, all of this is human-made. The church is for everybody. For the children, for the young people. And I don't know about you, but when I see the young people here up front, when I see so many young faces and children, I am really energized and charged up. I love it. I love to see you. Because there's no generation gap in the kingdom of God. Now, Moses, as I said, had in-law problems. He was even accused of having the wrong wife. And he could have said, well, the less of my in-laws I have with me, the better I'm off. No, he didn't think that way. Let's look at the second part of this. Moses made this plea to Bob to come and suffer and strive with Israel to get to the promised land. Israel faced many hardships, many trials in the desert. Moses didn't say, you know, if you are with us, you will have no problems. You will have no difficulties. No, he invited his brother-in-law to come and suffer with them. Whatever it took. Because we will do you good. We will not reject you. We will accept you. But there will be suffering. There will be difficulties. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says about Moses, verse 24 and 25, by faith Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Have you ever thought about it? Moses didn't have to be the most pressured man on earth, as the Bible says. He chose to. Why? He wanted to get to the promised land. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And so it is in the body of Christ. When we start our journey to the promised land, the Bible says that we need to take up our cross. And taking up our cross is that we are prepared or getting prepared inside that we will suffer as Christians. We will suffer as believers. There's no way around suffering in the Christian life. That's just how it is. And God wants us to make the best of it. In the body of Christ, when one member suffers, all suffer with them. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice with them. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? Why should I care how so-and-so is doing? Oh, why should I care if so-and-so has a great joy, had a great victory? No, we should take part in it. Come with us to suffer the sadness and suffer the joys of the body of Christ. Israel stood before great battles. They were called to conquer enemies. From the beginning, the people of God had great battles with all kinds of forces of darkness, and they were to overcome them. Israel faced many enemies that were extremely powerful. In fact, the Bible says that some of the enemies were 10 times as strong and powerful as they were. But God assured them victory. He said, I will get you through. I will fight for you, and you shall be still. And here Moses invites his brother-in-law, come with us. Share in our victories. Share in our sufferings. Share in all our joys and all our weaknesses and sadnesses, even in our failures. Share in it, because it will be worth it. You see, we as a church are called to be victorious. We as a church are called to evade every sector of society, to influence the world instead of the world influencing us. We are called to stand, to be ready to suffer, to be ready to testify, to be ready to stand for truth and the gospel news in the world, to help spread it. And you see, the best way to overcome evil is, according to the words of the Apostle Paul, to do good. We can't just sit and fold our hands and say, well, you know, I really want to overcome evil today. No, we need to be proactive and take initiative and say, no, today I will work for God. I will do something good. I will do something to damage the kingdom of darkness and to bring glory to God and His kingdom. Unfortunately, there are those, even among Christian fundamentalists, who fight the wrong way according to the flesh. And they have a wrong view of the gospel. They take a militant stand when it comes fighting false religions. Now, I want to just say this. When you hear about, you know, a pastor burning the Quran, or a so-called Christian making a film to incite Muslims, that's not the biblical Christian way. That's not how we fight. That's not how we try to get the truth to the world. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. That's not literal strongholds. That's spiritual strongholds. That's casting down arguments of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all obedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That means that we are giving an example how the Christian life should be lived as pilgrims, as people on a journey to the promised land. We show We don't fight the fight and expect a victory through carnal weapons. We use the spiritual weapons to take captive the thoughts that Satan gives us unto the obedience of Christ. And we say, Christ is all in all. And therefore we call to you as a church, come with us to the promised land. Victory is promised. Victory is possible. Victory is our motto in Jesus Christ. This is also a plea to come and take part in the many blessings and promises that God has given His people and in His kingdom. Moses invited his brother-in-law to come and see the mighty hand and arm of God at work in Israel. To come and see the pillar of fire at night and the cloud of God by day. The many miracles, even the disciplines and the judgments that God would bring, that his brother-in-law would see the stubborn love of God. How he keeps loving his people, although sometimes he felt like destroying them altogether. But he didn't. You see, ours is the invitation. And Jesus himself invited us, come unto me. Come with us to witness the grace and the truth of God in Jesus Christ. Come experience that grace and that truth. No, we are not perfect. If you look for a perfect church, don't attend it if you find one. Because it will no longer be perfect if you join it. There is no perfect church. We're not perfect, but we're on our way. Observe the grace of God in God's people. How through the grace of God and through the generosity that God gives us in our hearts, makes us different people, transformed people, redeemed, set aside for Him, walking in forgiveness and His love. Come to experience the reward of faith and trust in the Lord. See, Moses' brother-in-law was called to become the eyes for Israel. That's what Moses said. You need to be our eyes, because Bob knew his way around the desert very well. He was very familiar with that whole area. He was very useful for Israel. Sometimes you wonder when people of other races, people of other creeds, can God use them? He can use them in a way that He can't use us. He was to see and hear the words of God to Israel, and He was to use His talents, His gifts, His experience to help Israel, to bless Israel, to contribute to the journey and benefit God's people. You see, when you are needed in the kingdom of God, that feels great, doesn't it? When your service, your talents, your gifts are appreciated and are needed in the kingdom of God, that feels great, doesn't it? And that is the invitation. In Christ's kingdom, we cannot escape the powerful preaching and teaching and the manifestations of God's word and His spirit. When we look in the story later, when the spies came back from the promised land to spy out this land that they were going to, and 10 of the spies said, we can't do it. I wonder what Brother Bob thought. What went through his mind when the 10 spies says it's impossible, and they riled up the whole congregation and everybody said, no, it's impossible. We can't. And then God had to send them back into the desert, and they had to go back and forth there. And Bob was there, and he must have been frustrated. He must have thought, why couldn't the people have believed? And now all this journeying, it's this prolonged, And it's like God has to go to plan B, and my services are needed even more. Now I have to guide him even more than before because they disobeyed God. He could have said, well, I give up. I can only spend so much time. If you don't believe in God, I just can't put up with this anymore. No, he was faithful. He stayed the course. And that is a blessing. Hobab was to see the successes and failures of the believers called God's people. But also he saw the fulfillment of the promises that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Many, many years earlier, God had told Abraham, I will give you the promised land, a land in which milk and honey flow. And I will give that to your descendants. And now the time would come where these promises would be fulfilled, although through a lot of struggle, and almost didn't get fulfilled, but God is patient and he is good. Let me read something in the New Testament that helps us to relate to this. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And verse 4 now, listen carefully here. By which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Did you hear that? Exceedingly great and precious promises, that when we believe them, when we trust in those promises, that then we become partakers of the godly nature. That means that we have a down payment to heaven, that we will get there to the promised land. One more thought before we close. Brother Bob was asked to come to the rest and benefits of the promised land that God had for his people. A land flowing with milk and honey, meaning that God would provide a peace that surpasses all human understanding. Even in the midst of storms of life, in the midst of trials, failure, in the midst of doubting and dark valleys, there can be peace for the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. It is not a rest from natural work, responsibilities, or duties, but a deep rest from the past, from all regrets, from all fears of failures, from all the things that we resent, all the things that happen to us. God wants us as pilgrims, as journey, people on a journey, he wants us to forget what was in the past. Those things where people have done us wrong, those things that were hurtful, those things that we regret as doing, that he wants us to get over that and look forward. Keep our eye on the prize. That eternal rest that is before us. Complete rest in this life in Christ Jesus. That means complete sanctification. We can come to the point where we experience that second work of grace, where we say, Lord, I give all on your altar. I don't want to hold to my own selfish desires and my own passions or any of those things. I want to do what pleases you, Lord. Number one, our life should be on this pilgrimage to please the Lord, because we're on our way to the promised land. Loved ones, there is a place, there is an experience, there is a moment where you and I can be filled with the Holy Spirit and enter that rest. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But to the word which they heard, referring to Israel, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. So spiritually speaking, the promised land for us is already here. We can enter it today. And then one day after our life is over, we will then go to our eternal reward for that eternal rest, for that eternal bliss and glory that is beyond human description. May God bless you as you are filled with hope. And may God help us to heed this call. Come with us to the promised land. Come with us in our church life, in our fellowship. You may say, well, why should I fellowship with these people? We need fellowship. We need to pilgrim or have our pilgrimage together, our journey together. And God has promised us to do good to us. God bless His word. Amen.